morning. Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company in Santa Fe, Cordova Road, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the show, Robert Knott will be with us here, speaking of the arts as he does Fridays. Right now, I would like to welcome Dana Middleton and Janet Gottgen. They are from the Santa Fe chapter of NOW, the National Organization for Women, and Joan Lamanian Sanford, who is with the New Mexico Religious Coalition for Choice. And there is actually going to be a rally next week, which we'll talk about a little later, on the 21st of January, Thursday, at the Roundhouse, to talk about the 37th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlotte. Great to be here.
So why are we still even talking about reproductive rights, family planning, abortion, birth control, all of these things, when they have been safe and legal for more than a generation, 37 years?
Well, thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, all this time, and certainly for women in our age groups here, we know how important choice is. But it seems that since 1973, in fact, there has been a backlash, and usually from, you know, different religious groups, the Republican Party, the Christian right, to slowly whittle away at our rights for contraceptives, abortion, and we feel healthcare in general is at stake here.
What is the motivation for disallowing women family planning services?
Well, I guess you could say the biggest word would be control. And the patriarchal system that existed long before Roe v. Wade. And the women's movement kind of switched everything and went in a different direction. And I think in many, many, many ways has affected our lives in a positive way.
Joan, mm-hmm. you are with the Religious Coalition for Choice. Oftentimes it's billed as a religious issue to deny women the choice to control whether they have children or not.
That's right. But actually, the religious majority is pro-choice. The members of the Religious Coalition, both nationally and here in New Mexico, are pro-choice because of their faith, not in spite of it.
How does that work?
Well, these are progressive religious organizations that believe that women are moral agents, that women have the capacity to turn to their God as they see him or her and make the best decision according to their beliefs and values for themselves, for their families, for the children they have and the children they will have in the future.
I'd like to say that I think it's really important not to underestimate the impact that fundamentalist religious groups, as opposed to the groups that Joan is talking about, the Catholic Church in particular, fundamentalist evangelical groups, have had in creating the attacks on abortion rights, on contraception rights, on sex education in the public schools over the last 37 years. And in particular, the Catholic Church, the Conference of American Bishops, played a pivotal role in influencing and creating the environment for the anti-abortion language that is now part of both the Senate bill and the health bill and the House health bill. And it's been a huge blow to women and probably will be included in the final health care bill.
Now, what do these amendments to the healthcare reform bills in the House and the Senate, what do they actually say regarding abortion and reproductive rights?
Well, essentially, the Senate bill is the more regressive, and that was sponsored by Bart Stupak, who is a Democrat. Essentially, they prohibit the new insurance exchanges from offering insurance plans that include abortion coverage. The result of that will be that eventually companies who want to participate in these exchanges will just drop abortion coverage completely.
As it is now, if you are working for a company or you're an individual and you buy health insurance, you can be covered in case you choose or need an abortion?
That's most women's health plans cover mm-hmm. abortion,
yes.
even though abortion is almost, by definition, an unexpected occurrence. Mm-hmm. None of us plans to have an unwanted pregnancy. It's kind of an oxymoron. The Senate bill, which Senator Bill Nelson forced through, is slightly less restrictive, but essentially the goal that they will lead to is a lessening of access for women to abortion services. And in a sense, that's been the goal in the last 37 years, is to make abortion less available and to fewer women.
Yeah. Because the anti-choice movement was not successful in overturning Roe, and in fact, it has become quite the organizing and a tool for them. And really, I think, ultimately, is not in their best interest to work toward overturning Roe. But instead, they've worked to gradually and slowly chip away and erode reproductive mm-hmm. rights, reproductive justice for women. In a way, in that old saying, you know, you can put a frog in a pot of water, boiling water, the frog will jump out. Put the frog in the cold water and turn the heat up, and pretty soon the frog just stays in there and boils to death. Slowly, gradually, women's reproductive rights have been chipped away incrementally in a way that has become accepted. And for women who live in the rural parts of our state, for women who live in poverty, there is no Roe anymore.
And that's true in virtually every state of the United States.
It is. And in a state like New Mexico, with limited health care as it is, simply because of the poverty in our state, and we're a large geographical state, there's not even a hospital in every county of our state. So women who are in the state who need to see an abortion provider have to travel to Albuquerque or Santa Fe. They have to give up 2 or 3 days of work. They have to pay for a bus ticket or a tank of gas, childcare if they have children, lose a few days of work because most women work in jobs where they don't have sick leave.
And then actually pay for any doctor's mm-hmm. services.
Well, New Mexico is one of the few states where Medicaid covers abortion. But if you don't qualify for Medicaid, if you're uninsured, which many women in New Mexico are, we have one of the highest rates of uninsured women and families, then Roe is meaningless.
One of the things that I have had trouble understanding is that the same groups who are against abortion are against all reproductive choice. So in other words, you can make an argument which, you know, is certainly controversial at best, that a little zygote or a little fetus is a human being with full human rights. And okay, but if you don't want abortions to happen, why not be in favor of full sex education and birth control so that there are as few abortions as possible?
Well, I think that's the key question, and I'm really glad you asked it. This past spring or summer, President Obama spoke at commencement exercises at Notre Dame University, which is a Catholic university. That in itself turned out to be controversial. But he addressed the abortion issue head on in a very wonderful way, I think. And he said that the issue has become so divisive that there's no conversation about it. Let's find common ground and let's do what we can do to prevent unwanted pregnancies as much as that is possible and reduce the need for abortions. And one would think, if this was a rational argument, that all sides would have embraced that. Well, that's been a pro-choice position since before Roe versus Wade. Universal sex education, access to contraceptives, but apparently those are very much not something that the far-right fundamentalist groups embrace, and quite the contrary. They're looking eventually to move to outlaw access to contraception as well.
Right, so we have an abstinence-only culture, which is basically a breeding ground for sexually transmitted diseases.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And unwanted children proliferating in the country.
Yeah, and we know that, you know, abstinence-only did not work, and there are still people in this country that think it worked.
Well, so not to get into the rhetoric, but it does really make you question what this is all about. Is it really about the culture of life? Because there doesn't seem to be much concern for unwanted children who are born as a result of abortion. It seems to be an issue of control, the way it is across the globe, in terms of limiting women's options and limiting women's autonomy and control over their bodies. We don't want to sound like raging, bra-burning feminists from the 70s, but when you ask that question, it really does create the environment. What is this all about?
Well, I think there's also, there was a wonderful book whose name I can't remember, written on the subject during the 1980s, in which the author interviewed a lot of people on the subject and found that a lot of what it boiled down to in terms of people's emotional sense of the whole thing was, what is a woman's role? And should a woman's role be really separate and different from a man's role, or should there be more overlap and each gets to do whatever they want? And where you stood on that really pretty much determined a lot of people's choices on reproductive rights and abortion.
Well, I think it also comes down to what you believe the role of sex is, and also what is the woman's role in sex. Is sex only for procreation? And if so, then and is it only for procreation in marriage? And if so, then contraception is wrong, because it limits the role of sex, which is only for procreation for heterosexual married couples. But if you believe that the role of sex is bigger and beyond that, that it's for bonding couples and for the
pleasure,
mm-hmm. women's pleasure, is a whole other place to go. Is that acceptable for women to have pleasure in sex, and to have sex only for pleasure and not for procreation and not at the will of their husband? Then
at mutual will. I mean, that's the thing, is that sense of equality and mutuality.
Absolutely.
Why do we even have to talk about this? It's so ridiculous. Of course sex is for more than reproduction.
Yeah, and more than the sexual relationship between, you know, people. It's also, don't forget, this is entwined with the economics of what's going on. And so you can really say, since 1973, things have shifted from when my mother was 22 and gave birth to me. And that is that, you know, these days it takes two people to bring money into a household. And so I think from the 70s into the 80s, it really, things dramatically shifted, because no longer could the man go out and bring in enough money to sustain a family. And so the economics of, you know, reproductive rights are so important, because most children, certainly my two daughters' ages, who are in their 20s and the one now 30, it's like they saw both their parents bringing in the money, because we had to. That's the other side of the coin, I think.
I think it's also interesting to just bring out that when, after Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973, the campaign to limit women's right to abortion has focused on the easiest groups to target. And the first were poor women when the Hyde Amendment was passed in, was it 1975?
76.
Mm-hmm. And the Hyde Amendment.
The Hyde Amendment was sponsored by then Senator Henry Hyde, and has been renewed every year or however often it has to be renewed. Essentially, it prohibits federal funding for abortion, which means on a federal level, states will have to provide Medicaid funds, which New York State does and New Mexico and a few other states. But the other front that this war has been waged on is against young women. And it takes the form of the requirement for parental consent and parental notification, which assumes that children are parents' or the state's legal property, that they are not intelligent moral agents, and it makes, they are the most vulnerable in terms of finding abortion services, where there is the requirement that they get written permission from sometimes abusive parents or judges who are not very very helpful. So I think, you know, it's kind of shocking, but this is where the war is being waged on young women, poor women, rural women, uneducated women. In the U.S. now, is it 87% of the counties in the United States don't have an abortion provider, which is what John was talking about in New Mexico.
Right.
If you need an abortion, you have to come to Santa Fe or Albuquerque, and at that there are only three providers in the state.
I think another point that is worth making is that there are a lot of people who aren't quite clear where they stand politically. They consider themselves pro-life, but when you scratch the surface, they actually are in favor of having the choice.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. We were sharing different experiences at our meeting not too long ago, and I realized suddenly that in 1 month I'd had two conversations with people who had not changed their minds, but realized they were pro-choice. And one was a woman, I would say in her 50s, who said, oh, you know, I'm pro-life. And I said, really? So what does that mean to you? And she said, well, I've never had children, but I always believed that if I wanted a child, I would obviously have it. And I didn't, but I'm pro-life. And I said, so you mean then that if one of my daughters decided to have an abortion for whatever her own reasons were, you would be against that? Oh, no, she said. No, 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 no. I'm just pro-life for me. And I said, well, but you're pro-choice then. If you, in fact, embrace other people around you and what their rights are. And she said, oh, I guess I am. And then the other one was actually a man who I would say was in his 40s. At the B&B where I work, he was a guest, and we got into the same conversation, and he said the same thing.
Isn't that interesting?
It was so interesting to me. In 1 month, this happened. And I think the more we talk about this, and the more discussions we have about abortion, and about contraceptives, and family planning in general, the more we're going to be able to deal with it on a personal level.
I think it's really, it's really important to begin not to use the term pro-life, which was introduced and has become common parlance by the right, because it paints pro-choice people as anti-life. And in a sense, I think it's really ironic that pro-life has come to mean pro-life for the fetus, but no concern for women and no concern for children who are born unwanted or from women who can't take care of them.
Women whose fetuses are being bombed in foreign countries.
Oh, yes, there's that too. I think without any question, we need to reclaim the language and perhaps just ramp down the rhetoric so that we could begin to talk about why women choose abortions, unwanted pregnancies, how they occur, the need for sex education, for affordable and accessible contraception, all of the range of women's reproductive health services, which are not just about abortion.
Now, we have, as you mentioned before, some major issues in the healthcare bill. Meanwhile, the National Organization for Women is organizing a rally for choice to commemorate the 37th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. At the east entrance of the Roundhouse on Thursday, the 21st of January at 11 in the morning. Why are you doing this? I mean, is there anything in New Mexico that is up for change in the legislative session or whatever?
Well, no. We understand right now, actually, that we're going to be in a good year here in the legislative session coming up. There aren't any anti-choice bills that we know of right now, today. being introduced. So we're pretty good there. Now, our main thrust here is for more awareness, not only to remind people that, you know, it's 2010, and since 1973, we've had the privilege that some countries don't, being able to choose abortion should we choose to do that. And I think Roe v. Wade was so monumental and so important to women that our idea now is to join with other organizations, and we're so lucky to have, you know, other people in on this, and people like Joan and the Religious Coalition to really bring this to the forefront and talk about what we can do to keep this strong. And I think Roe v. Wade Day is it. We're going to be there.
Now, is there any possibility to influence the health care bills that are before the House and Senate at this point, or is it too late for that?
I think it's really important that people in New Mexico continue to stay in touch with their members of Congress, to let Senators Udall and Bingham know how much we appreciate their strong stance on opposing these amendments, to also let Representatives Heinrich and here in Santa Fe, Lujan, know the same. We appreciate their strong stance in support of women, and also then to get in touch with our Southern New Mexico Representative Harry Teague and ask him to reconsider and to vote for health care reform and to vote against any further amendments that would restrict abortion care for women, and to vote for any pushback that we have on these amendments. I think it's really important that people stay in touch, that our senators and representatives hear from their constituents.
I agree with Joan. I think the other purpose for this rally is to bring to consciousness and awareness on a wider level, if possible, that we are not safe, that Roe versus Wade does not mean that women in this country will have safe, legal, accessible abortions from now until forever, that this challenge coming from the health care bill has really been a wake-up call for all of us. And I think constant pressure on our legislators, whether they feel able to vote against the bill because of the amendment, I don't really feel that that's going to happen, but they need to know that their constituents need them to support women and support abortion rights.
Before we go, I think there's one more thing that is important, and that's a kind of a coming out on the issue. There are a lot of women who have had abortions and they're embarrassed to talk about it, and being able to just have a conversation saying, I mean, I have a close friend who was dating somebody, it wasn't the person that she wanted to marry, had an abortion. And I asked her later, did you ever regret it? She said, not for a minute, because I did not want to join my life with that person for the rest of my life. And she then married somebody that she loved and is very happy. There are a lot of stories like that.
A lot of stories.
Exactly. Don't get told over coffee.
So many. And I think that's one of the reasons we, in fact, have our T-shirt. And we're going to be giving these T-shirts out the day of the rally in front of the roundhouse. We'll be there from 11 to 12:30, Thursday the 21st. And the T-shirt says, I'm grateful my abortion was safe and legal. And what we've done is we've had a little space in there because two out of our 12 women at the meeting that day had never had an abortion. So they said, so we can't wear that T-shirt. So we have friend, sister, you know.
So I'm grateful my sister's abortion was
exactly
safe. My daughters, my mothers, my nieces.
Yeah.
Right.
So we need to be very vocal about this, and that will, I think, we hope, reduce any kind of shame that's involved, but also open a dialogue so we can discuss this.
Because everybody has a story.
Everybody has a story, and we don't want to be thought that we're wearing Scarlet A for abortion anymore.
Right, and as they, who was that? So there's a saying, an enemy is a person whose story I haven't heard.
I like that.
That's very good.
I like that.
Dana Middleton and Janet Gotkin are with the Santa Fe chapter of NOW, the National Organization for Women. They can be found at nowsantafe.org. And Joan Lemunyan Sanford is with the New Mexico Coalition for Reproductive Choice, NMRCRC.
Yes, that's the Religious Coalition.
Right, New Mexico Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. That's the RCRC. Thank you all so much for being here. And once again, the rally Thursday, January 21st at 11 o'clock in front of the east entrance to the Roundhouse here in the state capital of New Mexico, Santa Fe. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
We're going to take a break right now. Robert Knott is on deck. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine of the Santa Fe New Mexican. He is the education reporter for the New Mexican, and he's with us here every Friday speaking of the arts.
You're nobody. Tamara Charlotte has you on her program.
You nut. You're crazy.
You're nobody. Tamara Charlotte gives a damn. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. What was I going to say?
I don't
furlough
know.
Days.
You were going to speak of the arts, I thought. Is
furlough
what you
days today for the state, and Monday, of course, Martin Luther King. So my understanding is, for your culture nuts, the museums, most of the museums, not all, are closed today and Monday. You may want to call for
information. Oh, really? Okay.
Because the state's taking a furlough today, or certain people are, so
okay.
You may make some phone calls and not get any response. We have a really interesting cover story that a freelancer, Michael Abetamarco, did for us. It's a nice piece about photographers who worked for the Farm Security Administration, which was part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture back in the Great Depression era, and how they captured the effects of the Dust Bowl on the country, specifically northeastern New Mexico. And I think he did a nice job, and it's unusual. So it's a really interesting, different sort of cover story. Since we're not going to be... aren't we taking next week off without going to
the
specifics?
No, the week after.
Oh, we are. Good. Okay, fine. Oh, that's good. Good, because then next week I can talk about the fashion show.
And can we talk about a giveaway?
Yes.
Yikes.
And Marilyn LeBlanc is here to let us know that we've got a pair of tickets for the Leo Kottke concert. Marilyn, when and where?
It's on Saturday at 7:30 at the James A. Little Theater.
Saturday, and so the... fourth person, ladies and gentlemen, to call 428-1382, that's 505-428-1382, scores a pair of tickets. That's a piece of news. Leo Kottke, he's amazing.
It's great. Paul Weideman did a really, really fun profile on him, short and sweet in today's Pasa. And Willie Porter is going to open for him on Saturday at the James A. Little. And we don't want to send you up to Taos, but if you happen to miss the show and you still want to see him, he is playing the Taos Community Auditorium Sunday at... 7 o'clock, but you want to see him at Santa Fe, and you want to win those tickets, so call in.
428-1382.
That's nice. What do you know about Vienna?
What do I know about Vienna?
Yeah.
I've been there when
You've
I was in college.
Vienna?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's way over on, I think, the east end of Austria.
Oh, I thought it was on the south side of Tucson. Anyway, Vienna is famous for many things, including chocolate.
Hmm. And waltzes.
Yes.
Psychoanalysis.
And the Miss Vienna contest, which I didn't know until I did some YouTube searching. And
uh-oh.
Man, those babes are... Anyway, but that has nothing to do with Vienna with Love, which is a concert that the Santa Fe Symphony and Chorus is going to put on at 4 o'clock Sunday at the Lenzic. Because Vienna is also known for its classical composers. Why don't you name a few for us?
That's right. No, you.
Well, you've heard of Strauss, right?
Yes.
You've heard of Schubert.
We were talking about waltzes.
Those yes. are the guys? Oh, is the Viennese Waltz?
Yeah.
How does that go?
The Viennese Waltz is from Vienna.
Is that like da na 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 na?
That kind of thing, right.
Okay, anyway. That's the Santa Fe Symphony and Chorus. It's 4 o'clock on Sunday if you like Vienna. I don't think any of the Miss Viennas will be there. David Feldberg's going to be on violin. You got to pay to get in. Discounts are available for students, seniors, and kids. Here's a phone number for you. 988-1234. That's the Lenzic number.
Hey, I was looking at
photos of me.
Wikipedia, and Vienna is the last great capital of the 19th century ball. There are over 200 significant balls per year, featuring as many as 9 live orchestras held in beautiful palaces
I didn't
in
know
Vienna.
Had 9 lives? I thought cats did. That's amazing.
Yep.
Viennese, so they still have balls there.
Yep, they got balls.
Well, let's go there. That's
what?
Very good. What you just said.
What did I say?
Oh, my God. That was terrific. Usually something I would have said. Ladies and gentlemen, she said it, not me. You said Vienna has balls. Cowboy Mouth is such an exciting band. They're from New Orleans. They are just exciting. I think, like, all ages exciting. And they're coming to the Santa Fe Brewing Company Sunday night at 7. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be good stuff. You got to pay to get in, but it ain't too bad. Call the Lunzik, 988-1234. They're just, like, they get their audiences so thrilled. And I love them. I may go out there myself. Meanwhile, Russell Scharf's and the Jazz Explosion are going to do perhaps more minimalistic but nonetheless exciting jazz music at Osaka Grill and Seafood on Zafferano Drive on Saturday, 7 o'clock. I'm not sure if there's a cover charge. Maybe they expect you to eat, but that's good because you go there and they do, like, they chop up the food in front of you with big swords and they do, like, theatrics and Jackie Chan stuff. So 471-6698.
Excellent.
Good.
And Roberto Capocchi, the Brazilian guitarist, will be playing
that
gig this Friday, actually tonight, at 7:30 in the evening. Gig is at 1808 2nd Street in Santa Fe. And then tomorrow night, Bruce Dunlap, also at 7:30 at Gig Santa Fe.
Nice. Now, what do you know about Valerie Martinez and her Lines and Circles show?
Oh, you tell us.
Well, she is our poet laureate. She's been that way for about 2 years now. And she's put together a really fascinating sounding project that opens with a reception, I think tonight, a celebration of Santa Fe families. I should know this since Jill Badson wrote a piece for Pasta Tampa on it. And basically she interviewed and joined together long historically having lived in Santa Fe people. I know I just mumbled that, but it's Friday morning.
Mm.
People that grew up here, and she got their stories and put them together in a mixed media and literature / poets show called Lines and Circles, a Celebration of Santa Fe Families. And it's going to be down at the Santa Fe Arts Commission Community Gallery in the Convention Center, 201 West Marcy Street. And I'm going to throw you a phone number, 955-6707. There's a really nice piece on it in today's PASA. I read it over, but obviously I'm jumbling and mumbling and gumbling up the works. But it opens tonight with a reception. Tomorrow, there's going to be a presentation by some of the families and family recipes feast in conjunction with the exhibit from 2 to 5. So a good Saturday afternoon thing to do, to head on down to the convention center. Exciting show. Viva la Valerie Martinez. I think it sounds great.
Now, I got a message from Beth Serdet, who has been on this program before, and she's doing a program called Grandmother Tales on January 16th. That
right.
is tomorrow.
Yep.
In every culture, grandmothers color who we are, sometimes acting as role models, other times show us who we don't want to be, old wives' tales. Anyway, the grandmothers and grandchildren of all age are invited to come and share stories about their grandmothers. These programs are free. They're at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum, and therefore programs are for ages 4 to... Okay, this is for kids. For ages 4 to 12, accompanied by an adult, and 217 Johnson Street. So that's, once again, tomorrow, 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, Grandmother Tales.
No charge. If they're from 4 to 12, they should be accompanied by an adult, and it sounds like a great thing.
Yeah.
My grandmother on my mother's side lived till she was about 95, and she never learned how to drive. They tried to teach her, and they took her out in the car once, and she ran over some garbage cans, and this was like the 1930s, so she never got in a car again. She lived in one of those proverbial small towns like Mayberry, where Andy Griffith lived. And she just lived in her kitchen and did crossword puzzles and listened to the radio. And she was never depressed, angry, sad. She never judged anybody. And she had incredible tragedy in her life, and she just accepted it all. And I still think about her. She had a great impact on me. And you go see her, and she'd tell funny stories. And then you said, it's time to go. We got to leave. She never made you feel bad, like, or made you, like, take 20 minutes to get out the door, which I hate when you're at a party. And you just want to leave. Like, I just leave the party. I don't even say goodbye to the host, and people get mad at me. But I don't want to be stopped by, like, 13 people, which has nothing to do with my grandmother, but I think about her. Anyway, Grandmother Tales tomorrow.
Yes.
Also tomorrow, if you're interested in preserving your family's heirloom textiles,
yes,
Rebecca Tinkham, T-I-N-K-H-A-M, and her assistant collections manager, Penny McBride, textile conservators that they are going to be doing a workshop and a tour of the exhibit Fashioning New Mexico, What We Wear to Mark Life's Passages, tomorrow at 2 o'clock. You do have to pay for this workshop. Why don't you call 476-5106 and find out more. If that interests you, if you want to know how to keep your family textiles still, you know, without moths in them.
Yeah, yeah. And without getting brittle, dry rot, and all those kinds of things. I have some beautiful, speaking of grandmothers, my Sicilian grandmother had some lacy satin pillowcases, and I still have them, but I don't want to use them because I'm afraid they'll fall apart.
I thought you were going to say, like, lacy satin lingerie, but then you said pillowcases.
No, pillowcases. Those were her and my grandfather's wedding pillowcases in 19 Lord knows what.
That's pretty cool.
Hey, Monday, January 18th, which happens to be Martin Luther King Day. We're going to be doing lots of Martin Luther King Day programming next week. From 7:30 to 9:30, Santa Fe City Council candidates in contested districts 1 and 2 and uncontested candidates in districts 3 and 4. Forums, 7:30 to 9:30 at Christus St. Vincent Hospital in the Southwest Conference Room behind the cafeteria, open to the public. Focus on issues concerning our neighborhoods.
Nate.
Q&A. You can go there and ask your elected officials or potential elected officials questions.
Say that time again, please.
7:30.
Okay. If you don't feel like you're going to go to that and you want to know about Pompeii, that ancient Roman city.
Yes.
The Last Days of Pompeii, Decadence, Apocalypse, and Redemption is a lecture by Kenneth Lapitin.
Where's the redemption? Everybody got killed.
Well, some people survived. They had hot feet for the rest of their life, but Associate Curator of Antiquities of the J. Paul Getty Museum, this guy is, Lapitin, 7:30 at the Courtyard by Marriott on Cirrhios Road. He's going to be giving a free lecture, Last Days of Pompeii. If this interests you, head on out there. I'll give you a phone number, 984-2108. About 25 years ago, I saw this movie. I think Roger Corman made it. It had, like, female gladiators, and they were fighting a lot, and frankly, they didn't have clothes on in many of the scenes. And at the end, Vesuvius erupted. Was that Pompeii? Because I remember the women, but I don't remember the explosion itself. At that point, I guess that was Pompeii. Okay, so that's Monday night if you don't want to do the other stuff. On Wednesday, you can explore Santa Fe's historic houses while you eat your lunch. In fact, you can just sit there and eat your lunch from noon to 12:45. It's part of the Brown Bag and Brain Power Lecture Series, which is really known as Brain Power and Brown Bag, but I always think of it bringing my food first. It's called Exploring Santa Fe's Historic Houses by author Margaret Booker. It's at the Angelico Chavez History Library downtown, 120 Washington Avenue. It's free. Bring your lunch. There's only have like 40 chairs. There's things at noon. Get there at like 11:40. 476-5090. These are terrific little lecture series. I've gone to several. Tried to get into a couple that sold out. One of the most important literary events, I think the Nicholson Baker event at Landon is going to be really exciting this week. He's going to be speaking with Michael Silverblatt at 7 o'clock. Wednesday at the Lenzik. These often sell out. They're pretty inexpensive to get into. And Jonathan
and
Richards,
fantastic.
They are mostly, I can't think of a bad one I've gone to. Jonathan Richards did a great profile on Baker in today's Pasta Sample. It's a really lively discussion. Please take a look at that. But go see the event Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
7 o'clock.
The worst Lennon lectures are merely good. The best ones are excellent or mind-blowing.
Okay, I'll agree with you. I won't fight you on that. On Thursday night, literary-wise, Tony Hillerman's daughter Anne and Don Strell, photographer, are going to sign copies and talk about Tony Hillerman's landscapes.
About that on the air. It's a wonderful book.
It is. It is a wonderful
book. Especially if you're a Tony Hillerman mystery fan.
That's at noon on Thursday at the United Church of Santa Fe, 1804 Arroyo Chamiso. There is a suggested donation, but that includes lunch. So you kind of get fed.
Lunch is good.
Lunch is good. 988-3295. And speaking of
Rulon Tangen and Dancing Earth, there is a welcoming reception today from 3 to 5 at the Santa Fe Art Institute because some of the resident dancers from this dance ensemble called Dancing Earth are going to be at the Santa
That's
Fe
right.
Art Institute. They're working on a new piece called Of Bodies, which, of Elements.
Which premieres in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm going to have Rulon and some of the other dancers on the air. And they really are doing very interesting fusion of all kinds of different dance forms and earth-based and movement-based. What do you know about them?
I've seen her work and I've done pieces on her, although not in the past few years. And I think the way you just described it is pretty good. It's usually exciting, innovative, experimental dance. And it's never dull. Speaking of which, a couple of weeks down the line, look forward to the Ballet Trocadero coming to town.
Yay.
Men in Tights. But mystery speakers-wise, tonight at 6 o'clock, Collected Works, Doug Preston signs and talks about... No, pardon me. I think it's more of a conversation with Douglas Preston, who wrote Impact, and David Morrell, who has a new book
out.
So this is going to be tonight at 6 if you want to head over to Collected Works. You can buy food there.
I was gonna get him on the air. Oh well.
Which one?
Either or both. Well, one of their books just came in recently.
I think Douglas Preston.
Both
new books, and they're both mystery, exciting authors. So head on down there. Did this ever happen to you? Did you ever have really bad coffee stains in your coffee cup? So you decide to take a Brillo pad to it instead of a sponge?
No, no, no. You use baking soda. You put a little bit
you
of
do?
Baking soda on a sponge. It takes off all the coffee
Thank
stains
you.
Instantaneously.
Because I had coffee this morning and now I have like Brillo in my mouth.
That's very bad. You don't need Brillo. Baking soda. Baking soda cleans a lot of things.
Okay.
You can get rid of a lot of your household chemicals.
I'll get some baking soda.
Get a big
That's good.
Bucket, not I'll, bucket, big
I'll
box get, of baking soda.
I'll get plenty. I'll go buy it immediately.
And also, it comes in. I've been noticing how many plastic bottles I throw away. And I've been trying to buy stuff that comes in boxes instead of cardboard boxes instead of plastic bottles.
Oh, so like I should buy Tide detergent in the box instead of like in the bottle.
I think so. I don't know. I mean, you talk to people who know the whole life cycle of those products, but I think so.
That's a good idea.
Because there's so much plastic in the environment that lasts for, you know, tens of civilizations. Yeah, he's got a plastic bottle
of
water on the...
But I recycle them, and I recycle plastic bags. I recycle great. But this Brillo thing is terrible, so I'm glad
Yeah, the Brillo thing, no, baking soda.
Because I have, like, Brillo in my mouth now.
Hey, I got a notice from Doug Roberts, Wednesday night. He is sitting in with Rhythm and 53rd. That's every Wednesday night at the Tin Star Saloon at 411 West Water Street. And you can go to Tin Star Saloon and check out their programs there. I haven't gone to hear music there. Have you?
I've heard music at the Tin Star, and it used to be a favorite haunt of mine when it first opened, and there's no specific reason why I haven't been back there lately. I just kind of, unfortunately,
well,
have forgotten about them, but I will try
to get
back
over
there.
Time to go back to the Tin Star.
And I can walk there from where I'm currently staying, so I can even stagger home if I have to, because I don't like to drink and drive.
Here's another event. The annual Martin Luther King Day Jr. Remembrance Program will take place in the Capitol Rotunda on Monday, January 18th. Genealogist George Gator will speak on Dr. King's roots and the importance of family history, and the winners of the school essay contest will be announced. It's organized by the Santa Fe County branch of the NAACP. The public is invited. Admission is free. For more information, 505-867-5340 or 471-6798.
Great. Movie-wise, Cloud Nine is a really good German picture about a woman in her mid-60s who has an extramarital affair. And it's wonderful. Some people call it controversial because it has 65-year-old, 75-year-old sex and nudity. I don't find that controversial. It's part of life. It's a really fine film. I saw it, and I recommend you go see it. Laurel Gladden saw A Single Man opening at CCA today, Tom Ford's movie.
Yeah.
She claims it's superb. She's
There's a big gala tonight.
3.5.
A big fundraiser.
Yeah, that's correct. I think that's at 7 o'clock, but you can go see
6
the picture.
O'clock.
6 p.m. Friday, that's right. Otherwise, you can go see it while it's running. My understanding is it will run between 2 and 3 weeks over there. It's based on Christopher Isherwood's novel, and they say that Colin Firth is superb. Go see it, Single Man at CCA. If you're looking for more mainstream stuff, I totally enjoyed
and
Sherlock
I just,
Holmes.
I just want to say that the... As Jason Silverman put it, the CCA had a near-death experience recently. It is still up and running. The Cinematheque is terrific. And if you want to go over and really celebrate with them, tonight's a great night to do it.
I think the Cinematheque is what everybody thinks of the CCA as being, actually. And it's superb, and Jason's done a great job there, as has Brent and Peter over at the screen. I'm really glad we still have two art houses here. But going back to mainstream, Sherlock Holmes, a lot of fun. I saw it last week, just a kick. Regal Stadium,
really?
14. Yeah.
I was going to boycott it because they had turned Sherlock Holmes into a butt-kicking action figure instead of the brainy, nerdy sleuth that
he's
he
both.
Should be.
He's brainy and nerdy, but he also fights, and he gets beat up, and he's neurotic, and you get the sense he's high some of the time. And Jude Law's terrific as Dr. Watson, and it's just a fun picture. I won't claim that has any great relevance. Other movies around town, you probably already know. The Young Victoria is still playing strong at Regal de Vargas. I did not see it, but the word of mouth is great. The Private Lives of Pippa Lee just opened there, starring Robin Wright Penn and Santa Fe's own Alan Arkin. That's over at de Vargas. And the Celebrating Chekhov series continues, Russian films about Chekhov over at the screen with The Hunting Accident.
Movies to check off your list.
Very nice. That's very good.
Hey, Mambo Room tomorrow night. First Mambo Room of the year at the Lodge, 9 o'clock to 1:30 in the morning. Dress to impress. Come with your friends. Free dance lesson with Mambo Fay with paid admission at 9 o'clock. Full bar, 21 and over. DJ Avi, hottest salsa party in town.
across.
And our best wishes to Tony James, who's been one of the organizers of this, but he's been quite sick for some time, and we send a loving shout out to him.
Good, nice. Backstreet Bistro, across the street from where we are, Camino de los Marques, has Primitive Future paintings by Nicolas Gadbois.
Nick Gadbois. He's a great painter.
And I wanted to plug him because he's been very polite and professional, trying to get the attention to the show. It's reception tonight at 5:30.
He's a very, very good painter.
Good. So there you go. The end of February. Head over to Backstreet Bistro and take a look. And I got to go over there and have lunch.
They also have the best mushroom soup I've ever had in my life.
I love their mushroom soup. I got to go over there and see Dave and have a sandwich. In fact, I'll do that today if it's the last thing you
they
do.
They do not give me mushroom soup or any money to say that. I'm just saying.
That's ditto with me. I know that. When I say, you know, I had a great hamburger at Celebrations this week at lunch. And coincidentally, we had a reviewer giving them a pretty good restaurant review in today's Pasta Tempo. So they're still over there in St. Michael's, but they are not open for dinner. So just for lunch right now.
What are your favorite restaurants?
I am sort of a meat and potatoes, beer and burger guy.
Uh-huh.
So believe it or not, if I have the money,
Second Street.
Lot of money, I will go get a steak at Rio Chama, which doesn't happen too often. And if I have less money, I'll get a steak at the Outback. And I will definitely go to Second Street, particularly for the fish and chips. And I will go down to Del Toro a lot because for $5 you can get these really good chicken quesadillas and a nice cold beer. So I'm that sort of guy. You're not going to find me at the compound unless you see me rolling up a, you know, kitchen entrance after playing dice with the help. Or you're not going to see me at many exotic places.
I like Jinja.
Jinja's got a great atmosphere. I love going into the bar
They've
in there and
having a drink.
They've
got great food.
But I haven't eaten anything.
And Clafoutis. That place is great.
Where are they?
They're on Guadalupe near the, just south of the DeVargas Mall, south of Paseo there, right next to the dry cleaner. It's very hard to park sometimes, but they're great.
So there you go. There's my place.
Hey, Kathy Griffin at the Kiva Auditorium on
Kathy
Sunday.
Griffin.
Who's Kathy Griffin?
I know her name. Why is it ringing a bell?
She's a singer-songwriter. I'm not really sure, but I got a note about that. So that's happening on Sunday at 8 in the evening at the Kiva Auditorium. For more information, you can go to Ticketmaster.
Yeah, what time is it?
It is 8:56.
Okay, well, take a look at some other fun stuff in Pasta Tempo. A good book review of Leslie Caron's autobiography. Steve Terrell's fun tune-up column today. And the ever-popular Heather Roan Robbins astrology column, in which she talks about Capricorn, Saturn, and Uranus, which things that always interest certain people. There are lots of movies. There's not too much theater that I know of yet. It's not quite theater season. And there's always the museums, which, again, are closed today. Some of them. I don't know for sure. Make phone calls.
Just call them before you go.
Yeah. Several art openings tonight. Zane Bennett has a show. Santa Fe Clay has a show. Juan Caroline Place has a show. Spoken Word Poetry Night at Cafe Phoenix tonight at 6 o'clock on 2nd Street. Head on over there. We talked about the screening of Tom Ford's A Single Man. Night Trains at La Fonda tonight. Good band, good place to dance. And Tin Stars, The Pleasure Pilots tonight, 9:30, small cover charge. There's a lot of stuff to do. You can check it all out at the Pasta Tempo calendar. Or listen to Mary Charlotte on Friday mornings when Robert Knott shows up and gives her a...
hard time.
Delightful time.
Yes, that's what I meant.
You're
hey,
delightful.
We were pretty good. We didn't give each other a hard time today.
You're delicious. You're lovely. I love the way you look at me.
Hey, can I read something else? Zuva, a Santa Fe... I know, sorry.
That's why I you get can.
Zuva, a Santa Fe-based marimba band, is looking for intermediate and advanced marimba players for their ensemble. Rehearsals are in Santa Fe on Tuesday evenings, once a week, and half to full-day rehearsals once a month in Santa Cruz, New Mexico. You can take private lessons to get up to speed. Enthusiasm, communication skills, sense of rhythm, all sorts of things would be good. You can contact Carolyn at the phone number 505-231-2342.
Good seeing you. So
nice
I'll catch you next week.
You too.
We'll do the show again.
Now
we're going to take a week off, right?
We're going to take, the 29th, we won't be here. The 22nd, we'll be here, and we'll be back the week after that, the first week of February as well. And next week, we're going to be talking to various people in regard to Martin Luther King Week.
Excellent.
And actually listening to some of his, not only speeches, but sermons, which are not as often. Yeah, sometimes, some years I do, some years I don't. I always play one, but sometimes I play a couple of days worth. And very few people have heard Well, first of all, the full speeches in their entirety, but also these sermons, some of which were recorded and address a lot of the same issues that the big famous speeches do, but in a more religious way, and they're quite interesting.
Excellent.
So anyway,
good.
We'll be doing some of that and talking to a professor of Afro-American studies about the legacy of Martin Luther King. Anyway, Robert Knott, have a great weekend.
Me too. I'll finish my song for you next week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about
no,
it.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so yeah, when I serenade you, it's go ahead. When I sing about the bunnies or the snow, you get upset with me.
No, sing about the bunnies in the snow.
The bunnies in the snow are wondering why you glow. You glow because you're looking in my eyes. I love it when I turn you on. I hate it when you call me John. It always throws me. It's quite a surprise. I'll see you around, girl.
Okay, hasta la vista, baby.
Adios.
Ciao.